One of the funniest things is, you know, I grew up as an only child, and having kids, they do not miss any opportunity to embarrass their father. They find it great joy. Knew someone new. Hey, let me tell you something my dad did once. And it's kind of like those awkward moments where they're there. I did want to add to something that Justin was talking about mothers. And that is, you don't have to have children to carry the heart of a mother. And I was thinking back in my life. I grew up with a single mom, only child. So I went to a lot of, like, single woman's things. I went to, like, a woman's retreat one time for single ladies. Don't ask. Babysitter fell through. It was weird. But I started thinking about the deposit of some of those people made in my life. I was thinking of, well, one, Sue Boyle. Never had kids. But, man, she's a hero to my kids. I'm thinking of Deb Sykes. Gave me a Bible at, like, 9 or 10. I thought, well, that was a weird birthday gift. I mean, I remember it. It was a dual translation. It had NIV in one and King James in the other. I'm like, this ain't a part of my future. Sometimes people are wiser. And then I was just thinking of the young people. We did a, Chad and Megan got married yesterday, and Megan had lived with us, and I was thinking of all the people that had made a deposit in her life. Her story, her mom died when she was 9. She has a twin sister. And she, by the time she got here at 18, she was pretty rough. And what happened yesterday wouldn't have happened without the faithfulness of a lot of people. First, the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness in her life. But I was thinking of Earl and Sharon. I was thinking of, you know, the Hodges when she lived there. I was thinking of all the different people, Tom and Patty, myself and Tammy, that had invested in those things. Sometimes miracles aren't instant. Sometimes miracles are just doing the right thing over and over and over again. Even if it's someone like me that wasn't the best kid to give a Bible to when I was a kid. Because I had issues. I mean, we used to have like 3 doors over here. And I was 15, and Pastor Dave was just like in my, like, kind of like giving me one of those word of the Lord type things, like, if you don't repent, you're going to die and go to hell type things. And I just literally just blew it off. I mean, that's where I was at. But again, it was the faithfulness of my mom. It was the faithfulness of Deb Sykes and Sue Boyle and different ones that were praying for me in spite of the fact of all my issues. The faithfulness of that. And I was even talking to a woman this week at church, and she said, man, at 17, I had to make the hardest decision of my life to give my son up for adoption. And she said it was the best decision I ever made. It still was hard because it worked out. It was good. It was right. And she's a mom now and has her other kids, but she just said in that moment, it was the right decision. And sometimes in the kingdom and here on Mother's Day, you can focus on, you know, all the ones that have kids. But some of you might not, but in the kingdom, you're still able. There's still an inheritance. There's still a thing that's there. And we're talking about faith. Last week, we talked about faith. And I made the correlation that faith is a currency of heaven. And it's how transactions, it's how you do business in the kingdom. It's how when you come to the Lord, you can't bring your stuff. And God's like, oh, yeah, sure, you can buy that. I mean, you ever thought of the story of the rich young ruler? I got it all. I done it all. And what does Jesus say to him? Sell it all, give it to the poor, and follow me. And he was grieved because he had a lot of good stuff. What God was saying was, where's your faith at? Is your faith in your stuff? Is your faith in me? And sometimes that's not an easy, that's not a question we don't want to have asked. We don't want to have there. We talked about some things to, you know, faith. One of the definitions of faith is reality. What is the reality of your spiritual condition? You know, we can smoke and mirror it all you want, right? I was talking about how, man, if I pray a certain way, then well, I got great faith. That's a man of faith. Because he quotes in the King James, thus saith the Lord. Right? So we spiritualize things to sound more strong in our faith. Well, you can't fake what you don't have. You don't got it. You just don't have it. And it will be evidence in your life. And so again, we're talking about this thing of and if it's the currency of heaven or the currency of the kingdom, do you understand the kingdom? I don't know if you guys ever realized this, but the disciples didn't understand why Jesus came. They were clueless. They literally thought he was going to establish an earthly kingdom. It was going to be like the United States, kingdom of God, Canada in between. Good neighbor. And so when they're sitting there saying, who can sit at the right or your left? They're thinking, like, who can be the Secretary of State? Who's going to be the Attorney General? Can I sit on the Supreme Court? Can I have a place of authority in this natural kingdom? Acts 1:8 says that when he comes back again, they even say then, are you going to do it now? And they're like, he's like, what? 3 years later. You know, did I get the right 12? They're missing my signs. I mean, I gave them a lot. There's a lot in the gospel. And I think a lot of times that we do the same. And I'm gonna talk about in Romans to start us off. Romans 12:3. It's a very, very, I'll just read it. For though the grace has given to me to say to everyone not to think more highly than they ought, but to think of them in the same way, regarding themselves in the judgment. For God has allotted each one a measure of faith. So each one of us, as we're saved, has been given a measure of faith. What is your measure? What did he give you? Now, if we look through the scriptures, a lot of times he talks in parables, he talks about things, but did he just give you a quantity of faith, like here's some cash money? Or did he give you seeds of faith? Well, all through scripture, there's a lot of references to seeds and different things. I believe that there's seeds that you have to then take and grow. If you're hungry and I gave you pumpkin seeds, what would you think? I'm not hungry 3 months or, you know, two years from now. I'm hungry now. And have you ever thought, I worked at Home Depot for 5.5 years. How many seeds can you identify what they are just by the seed? If I were to throw out a bunch of seeds and had them all here, could you? Oh, for sure. That's a pear tree. Seen that one before. One of the worst parts is I was in the electrical department. We were right next to the garden department. So when it ever got busy, they'd ask me all these plant questions. Oh, Lord. Miserable failure. And then they'd always notoriously say, why do you work at Home Depot? I said, well, because I like orange. No, it's good. Matches my beard. You know, I mean, and then you try to explain it. Like, you don't know about this or that? I'm like, no. How much can you identify the seeds in your life? And if you're going to plant, again, I had all my little one-liners. My little one-liners were as like, you know, they'd ask, well, do you do this? I say, hey, I don't. These are not green thumbs. If you can't mow it, you kill it. That was kind of like my thing is like, I try to do grass with a little bit of weed. You know, that's about not smoking weed, but just the weeds that you have to take out. And Bellevue, confused sometimes. And so I had to make these clarifications, these things that were there. And so we're talking about faith. We're talking about these seeds. We're talking about we've been given this measure. And I was talking last week about how God asked me this question, you know, in Romans 15 14 where it talks about do nothing without anything without faith is sin. And I was like, guilty. And so I want to talk about five boulders that you got to get out of your field before you can plant your seeds of faith. You got to cultivate, you got to prepare the land. Not because I've done it, just because I've driven by someone else that has. And the first one I want to talk about is the supernatural. Anybody struggle with the supernatural? We read the scriptures and when I was reading just the other day the story about taxes. Jesus' solution to Peter was go catch a fish and his mouth will be a coin for you and me to pay taxes. I'm like, how in the world? That seems like a lot of work to just get a coin to pay some taxes. You gotta go out there, you gotta catch the fish, gotta pick the fish out, you gotta get them good. I'm like, what? But he was trying to teach something. 2 Corinthians says, not to walk by sight, but by faith. Has your natural law mind limited your ability to believe in the kingdom? Because, that doesn't fit. That doesn't work in my gospel. Because I haven't seen it. So many times Jesus was teaching his disciples about the kingdom. And one of the things that we don't realize is that our nation, there's been some great men of faith, but there's also an aspect of our faith that came with a different mindset. Ever heard of the Thomas Jefferson Bible? Anybody ever heard of it? Thomas Jefferson was a very interesting, he was, penned most of the Declaration of Independence, third president, pretty influential person in the founding of our nation. But he literally took a Bible, a King James Bible, and anything that was supernatural that he couldn't explain, he removed. And he painstakingly took a razor blade and cut it out. And then patched it back together. That's called the Thomas Jefferson Bible. Now, there's a scripture where Paul warned Peter, beware of men, the hold to a form of godliness, but what? The deny the power. What was Thomas Jefferson doing? He was denying any type of power. So you come to the crossing of the Red Sea. That didn't happen because the Red Sea couldn't cross the Red Sea. All through Scripture. Anything that he couldn't explain or understand or easily put. And they were called deists. And a lot, not all, some, of the founding were deists. And they believed, and this is kind of the deist belief, that God has created the universe, but has remained apart from its creation, and that through natural law, deists reject the supernatural aspect of religion. Now, if that's been woven into our culture since conception, that you get the Thomas Jefferson. I mean, I go to the memorial. There's tons of scriptures there. But also, you get the other aspect, a little stone. A little stone that deals with our faith. So basically, Thomas kind of had this belief that he was a good man that had good principles. And unfortunately, the church more looks like his Bible than this Bible. Because after 200 and some years, Thomas, again, there's other ones I could list. Again, I'm not saying there was great men of faith. I mean, Abraham Lincoln had a massive transformation during the Civil War. And I mean, we could get into all those type of things. But again, this thing around the supernatural. It was called because Thomas Jefferson was really into the Enlightenment aspect. It was all about science. It was all about those type of things. And anything that he couldn't prove, he discarded. Well, man, it must have been a pretty thin Bible. I mean, you got to take out the virgin birth. You got to take out the origins. I mean, think of all the things you got to remove from the Bible that have the essence of superseding your natural realm. And part of the founding of this nation had some of that in it. And so again, it's interesting to me that we struggle. Well, I haven't seen the dead rise. I haven't seen all these things happen that were in the Word. Because you got a massive boulder in your field that says it ain't going to happen. And it's been there for generation after generation after generation. And if we don't deal with it, what do? Well, we'll just build around it. We'll just accept it. We'll just accept its presence as real and not address it. And it affects us. It affects us in our ways. It causes us to think. And it's again, this mindset and this thing has been permeated through our culture, our school systems, our things. And now they're rejecting even the part that Thomas received of Jesus. I said, just get rid of it altogether. There's no point. There's no place. And so in my life, I'm recognizing that, man, how much do I walk in the natural and not in the kingdom? How many times do I look at my problems and all I see are natural solutions? How many times have I been guilty of not even praying for a supernatural situation because I've just taken the natural conclusion? I'm a pastor at a church, and I'm sitting there, and God's like, do you know how many times you counsel people and you don't even pray for them? Oops. Like, what, you got all the answers? You the man? And I'm like, if we remove prayer from our life, what are we seeking him for? What's the point? Just so we can do religion? And talk about how good it could have been, or how good it used to be, or how good it's going to be? But it says faith is now. And so I'm like, man, I got to change things up. I got to do things different. Speeding up. Number two, this is amazing. Our inability to identify spiritual attack. Our inability to understand spiritual attack. I was talking to somebody this week, and we were going through a thing, and he goes, you know, not to bust you up, but it sounds like you're under attack. And he just starts listing all the things going on. I'm like, duh, I'm pretty stupid. You're right, I didn't recognize. But again, if you can't recognize the attack, will you go after that? Will you do something about it? Or will you just be like, well, I don't know. And I was thinking of the story of Elijah. Elijah's on the Mount Carmel. He's confronting 400 prophets of Baal. He's mocking them. He's like, dude, is your God asleep? Hello, knock, knock. And then he tells them, nothing happens, waits till evening, cuts the ox, calls down fire from heaven. He hasn't, boom, consumed. And then towards the end of his prayer, he's telling Ahab, you better go because you hear the sound in verse 41. And Elijah says to Ahab, go and eat and drink, for the sounds of the roar of heavy showers. It hasn't rained in 3 years. So Ahab went and left. Then he goes to his servant. He gets down and he starts to pray. 7 times. You see anything? Go look out to the sea. Nothing. Nothing. Keeps praying. Keeps declaring. All of a sudden he says, yeah, I saw a cloud as the size of a fist. Sweet, he answered. Then all of a sudden it says literally in verse 35, the skies grew black and the clouds and the winds and there was a heavy shower and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And then at the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, he girded up his loins and outran him to there. Horses, chariots, me and my feet, beat him. Chapter 19, pretty close, same time. Now Ahab tells this to Jezebel, and Elijah had done all the things that he killed the prophets, and Jezebel sent a message to him and said, so may the gods of me and every even more to you if I do not ask for your life as for one of them, and tomorrow by this time, and he fled in fear. He was unable to notice his attack. He couldn't see it. He was under attack. And he did exactly what the attack wanted him to do. Run and flee. Come on, man. How many want to do that? Do what he just did in the earlier part? But he did exactly what you and I do all the time. We're under attack. We don't know what to do, so we hide. You got to deal with that boulder in your faith. You got to be able to identify those things. You got to be able to identify that. And sometimes the way you got to identify is you got to be close to other people. If you're isolated, you're an easy target. You're in the herd, you're a harder target. Boulders in your field that you got to get out to grow your faith. Number three. Let me read this to you, and then I'll give my thoughts and the point to it. But Luke 17, verse 3. But you be on guard. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, you forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, I repent, forgive him. Listen to the apostles. Now, I want you to imagine. The apostles have fed the 5,000. They have seen him heal multiple times. They have seen so many miracles. They were sent out as the 70 at this point. Verse 5. The apostles say to him, Lord, increase our faith. He's just talking about forgiveness. That's the easy stuff. Isn't it? They needed more faith for this than they did for healing. I got kids. I'm guilty. When I was a single person, I said I'd never do this, but I do it all the time. Because when you're single, you're the perfect parent in the world because you have all the answers. My kids would never eat in the car. I got all these rules that we broke like day one, you know. Okay, Johnny, my family. Matthew, did you hit Hunter? Yes. Say you're sorry. Sorry. Hunter, forgive. Okay, we good? Good. Sweet. Glad we got that problem solved. What? How much do we do that in the church? How much do we say we forgive, and man, we are being eaten up by bitterness and resentment. And it says every single time, and they're saying, man, because I believe to grow faith in your field, you got to walk in supernatural forgiveness that supersedes your natural Hunter Matthew analogy. That causes you to be able, not to be freed from scars, but from the pain that's there. I'm 42 years old. I still got forgiveness issues I'm still working through with my dad. Been doing that since I was like 4 years old. I got saved when I was 5. Been praying, been working. But something that's supernatural supersedes your ability. If you've forgiven just to your ability, you're not walking in grace. And you're not going to be able to grow your faith beyond that stone. You're going to be walking, doing good, all of a sudden, boom, you tripped up. Yep, not dealing with that. I just can't go there. That's just too much. The pain of that divorce was too painful. I just can't deal with it. And you know, some of you trip over something that you really struggle with is forgiving yourself. I just can't forgive. I just can't do it. Faith is not general, number 4, but it's specific. Sometimes we think that if you have faith, you ever seen somebody have faith in one area of their life and then you look at them and think, why don't you have faith for that? They eat and breathe faith for provision. But when it comes for their marriage, they got no hope. Because it's not the same thing. It's not like a $100 bill you can just go buy one and buy the other. They're specific. Each thing in the kingdom needs a faith that you have to achieve and allow happen, and it has to arise within you. It can't just be like, oh, I got general faith. When I was in Colorado Springs, I read an article about a minister, and it upset me. Great guy. I've been to his conferences. I've seen him prophesy. I've seen him heal the sick. And he says, so-and-so, taking 3 months off, going through divorce. I'm saying, 3 months off? I would spend my ministry to fix my marriage. I just got to take a little time, sort it out. Okay, I don't know the issues. But I'm stuck thinking, a man of great faith, healing, but no faith at home? No faith for his family? I don't know what the issue was. I just was reading Charisma magazine, sitting there in the office. But I'm just sitting there thinking, something's wrong. When all we got to do is just take a little time off from our ministry, the more important thing, when our marriage is falling apart, or it's over. So faith is not general, it's specific. So you're going to have to learn how to build faith in certain areas of your life and to see those things grow. Last one. On our boulders. Your view of God. You ever, guilty, read a scripture, and it's like you read the first half and you never read the second half. And you're like, oh, that was really good. Let me see if you've heard this scripture before, but not put it all together. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Who's ever heard that? Anybody know the second part? All right, good. Let's get your attention. Second part. Because we don't usually say this part. Because he answers the reason why. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. The reason why you have to have faith, and if you don't have faith in God, you'll be, is because you got to believe in his nature of who he is. He is a rewarder of those that seek him. It's so easy to think, well, yeah, God is God, but he doesn't care about me. And you have such a disconnect between your definition of who God is and what God has done in your life that you believe what he hasn't done, and that becomes greater than who he really is. And so you got to have a definition of who God is. You got to know who he is. You got to know his character. You got to know his principles. That the song was, he is a good father. Even in the midst of me, not having a dad, he's still a good father. He's a father to the fatherless. He's able to do exceedingly, beyondly, beyond what I ask or think. But sometimes our disappointments, our struggles cause us the inability to do that, and we redefine. Well, that's really not who he is. It's not what he's about. You gotta deal with that. You gotta get those stones. You gotta get those things out of your field. in Matthew. So those are the five things. The five boulders that we're talking about is the supernatural. His kingdom supersedes the natural kingdom. Number two, identifying spiritual attacks. Dealing with forgiveness, not just on an earthly level, but truly with a faith level. Faith is specific, not general. And two, or finally, you got to deal with your view of God. So those are the boulders, the steps to growing your faith. Listen to this story. These are always the fun moments in life. Matthew 17. And a man brought, verse 16, a man brought to him, this is a man telling the story. I brought them to your disciples, but they were unable to cure him. And Jesus answered, verse 17, answers, says, you unbelieving, perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And how long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the demons, and they came out of him, and he was cured. Now, just like you and me, we would do the next thing. Verse 19, and then the disciples came to him privately and said, why could we not drive out the demon? Or why could we not do that? And he gives them a great answer. He says, well, because you had little faith. Your faith was not enough to accomplish the goal. And says, but then he gives them an analogy. He says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you will see this mountain move and go forth, and it will be moved, and nothing is impossible to you. But these kind do not come out except through prayer and fasting. Could your prayer and fasting life kind of show the level of your faith life? Or could that be a way to help grow your faith? You ever, it's funny, people that have gardens, they don't like animals eating their when things start coming through. Deer become enemies. You know, Bambi is no sweet thing anymore. Little birds or slugs or those things are not, they are the enemy. Because they're destroying the thing that we're trying to grow. Again, I'll build my church. We got to become a house of prayer. You know what, folks? I mean, I know we got an election. An election ain't going to change our nation. Prayer in the church is going to change our nation. A revival of his spirit coming forth and changing the culture at hand is going to change. It's not going to happen just through voting one side versus the other. But there's got to be something that stirs. There's got to be something that changes the direction of our faith. And to grow your faith, are you willing to pray? Are you willing to fast? Are you willing to start? No, we think fast, we think food. Not fast food, but we think fasting food. But what might be your greatest hindrance to prayer? I mean, these things are great, because they also can be highly distracting. How much time does it consume? We're not talking about bad things. Just consume. Yeah, I gotta be honest. I had to quit playing fantasy football because it consumed way too much time. I could take 3 hours a night thinking about trades. Who am I gonna trade? What am I gonna do? Make this move, do this. My wife comes in there. What? You got kids! Be a dad, not some spiritual GM. I mean, I work with these GLs. You ain't going to find faith in a video game. Mortal Kombat's not going to produce healing. Whatever first shooter game you're playing. And it's really not a good way to become a good husband, father, and other things. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. One of the words is Christ. Christ was the sign of the anointing. Are you hearing the anointing? Are you hearing the word? Is it coming alive in your life? Is it the watering the seeds of faith in your heart? Are you allowing that to percolate? Or are you so consumed about your stress of the day and the issues of your life that you don't even take time for. And then you wonder why I got no faith. Number three, you gotta be kingdom minded. The Beatitudes. We quote Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. How much of your day is, how well are you doing on seek ye first the kingdom? I'm not sitting here saying I got the answers. I'm sitting here saying I've identified my problem. And I'm trying to help you and me seek first the kingdom. Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom. What's this kingdom? Can I tell a story? I went to Cambodia one time. We were at an orphanage working there. The whole roof was off. In a rain, I mean, I lived in Washington a long time. I've been to Florida. I've been through a tropical storm in Florida once. I've seen some rain. I've never seen rain like this. It literally was going this direction. I've never seen that happen before. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. A Saturday night, no roof, two stories, didn't affaze them at all. This is what they did. Each little kid had about 2-3 pairs of clothes. They hung it out. They swept up the concrete floor, had church the next day. Didn't miss a beat. I felt like the Lord said to me, what would happen at home? Yeah. Oh my gosh, my big screen just blew up. I'm not going to miss the game. The Seahawks might win and I'm going to miss it. Oh my gosh, my leather sofa, my recliner, all my stuff. It's ruined. Oh, pray. We'd be praying. Pray for the Mabrys, man. Their roof was off and everything they own is destroyed. It's horrible. My iPhone, gone. My iPad, no go. How am I going to raise my kids? Who's going to babysit? I can't get Netflix. How addicted are we to stuff? How addicted? I'm addicted. Man, if I'm not kingdom-minded, that's how I'm going to grow my faith. Sitting there searching Facebook isn't going to grow my faith. Might increase my unforgiveness rock. I'm deleting them. Oh, my gosh. How dare they say such things? Number four. I'm not going to expand on this one, but man, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. If you've not been baptized in the release in the Holy Spirit, I urge you to grow in faith. You need the Holy Spirit. I was telling the guys that I think we even need to do a couple Sundays just talking about the Holy Spirit. The power that is there in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, good. Last one. You know, Pastor Dave 2 weeks ago was talking about the promises and tying it into obedience. That's, I don't know. It's like, when I was a kid, this was my thing. Anyone told me to do something, I would purposely not do it because they told me to do it. You think I had authority issues or what? But there was just something there. Listen to this story. This is back in Luke, and so we've experienced, you know, he tells them, you know, after the apostles, I'd read earlier, increase our faith. He gives the same analogy of the mustard seed. But then it's the cleansing of the 10 lepers. It's verse 11. And it says, while he was on his way to Jerusalem, he passed by, and between Samaria and Galilee, he entered a village, and 10 leper men stood there at a distance and met him. And they rose up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And they were going, and as they were going, they were cleansed. This is real spiritual here. You got to do. How many has God told you to do something, and you're like me, and you didn't do it? That's a good way not to grow your faith. That's a faith killer right there. What? How, I mean, could you imagine if this happened? Well, did you really hear from God? I'm not sure. I mean, go show the priest. I mean, let me think about that. Does that really make sense? I don't understand. Why do I got to go show the priest? Like, I mean, I still got leprosy. Why? I mean, he's going to tell me you got leprosy. Why? And we talk ourselves right out of what? The action. The doing. I mean, Nike built the whole thing. Just do it. And the church has spent its whole lifetime doing nothing. There's got to be a point in your faith where you got to do. You don't do to become. You do because he said. And if you never do it, it's not going to happen. And so as they begin to do it, they were cleansed. Or could you imagine? Like, dude, leprosy. Oh my God. Oh my God. Has your reason your faith isn't growing is because you're doing no doing. You got to obey his word. It's not to justify yourself. It's to grow your faith. If I don't obey, I'm still saved, but I just don't got much faith in the kingdom. I'm not going to do much. I'm just going to hunker down, get through the storm. It's bad out there. Oh, my gosh. It's going to hell in a handbasket. Hunker down. Don't go outside. No. You got to obey to grow your faith, to change the culture.